now the only thing I want from the McMahon family is to deliver me the Raw Women's Champion, Ronda Rousey.
Ronda is the champion now!
It's WrestleMania!
Happy Rusev Day!
And welcome to another episode of Tacomania. How's it going, guys? I hope you're enjoying your holiday. This is our holiday Christmas extravaganza. I'm Desmino. We've got Santa's little helper over here, J-Bomb. Say bah humbug, J-Bomb.
Hello. It's
John C.
Welcome to the single greatest children's edition Christmas special of Cockamania.
You say Cockamania?
I quit.
Yes, I did. And J-Bomb is deep into the eggnog, if you know what I'm saying.
He's noggin. He's double noggin.
Hell yeah, man. I'm friggin' coggin' noggin. Rockin' and noggin. Whatever.
So we're almost there. The holidays are just in front of us, guys. And I'm excited. Work's almost over. I'm pretty much winding up. And yeah, it's going to be time to hit the nog and open some presents and spend some time with your family and watch some, I guess, hopefully some wrestling over the holidays, maybe.
This past weekend was decent. I'd say it was more than decent. We had WWE TLC. We had Ring of Honor Final Battle. I think that's what it was called. But we watched it. We didn't pay for it, but we watched it. It was pretty good.
And yeah, it was funny because you texted me. You're like, Ring of Honor's on tonight. And I'm like, oh, you know what? Sure. Why not, man? Doing a bit of work from home. I opened it up, and it was cool. I didn't even know it was live. I thought it was just like sometimes they have like old shows on. And I kind of started piecing it together just based on what was happening. I'm like, oh, you know what? I think this is live. Mm. And that shows you how in touch I am with Ring of Honor. But at the same time, it was exciting because now I'm getting bit by the bug.
You're all like, yo, I'm an indie guy. Like, I'm totally an indie guy. I'm not an indie guy. But I will say that you were very, very positive with your watching. And I was not expecting it. So that is my gift from Dez this year.
Oh, and the gift you gave me was to open my eyes to Ring of Honor.
I love those J-I-N-G-L-E bells.
All right, before we get into this, we got to make this quick. I want to talk about Red Dead Redemption. Are you any further than you were last week?
I am, and I played last night because I know J-Bomb's going to be on my ass about this. So I was like, let's do it.
Where you at?
So I did a few missions. What was I doing? I actually now help some dude. I mean, we know the guy you go hunting with sometimes. I went and did a hunt with a bunch of wolves.
Oh, fuck that shit. I never do.
You go in the forest and you get ambushed. No? Yeah. Do you do the side missions?
I do the side missions. The ones I don't do is the ones with the pictures. I don't care about that dude. And I never go fishing with that guy who's like, hey, Arthur, you want to go fishing?
Not the guys at my camp. I'm talking about missions, the white ones that show up in various areas.
Oh, like the one where it takes you forever to catch the king there?
Similar to that, but like basically you meet this guy later on, you're sick, you're having a conversation with him. It's clearly it could be one of your last conversations. And he was talking about this female wolf that he's seen and he's been tracking her. And then right before you leave or before you have another cup of coffee, he ends up seeing the wolf in the window and you go and track her down. And you basically leads you into an interesting predicament where you get ambushed by some beastly motherfucking wolves, man. You get attacked left and right. So you basically got to defend them off. That was pretty cool. But yeah, been doing some missions for Dutch. He's obviously losing his mind. He killed Cornwall. So that was something. And
which one's Cornwall? Is he the guy in St. Denis?
Yeah, he comes off the train. And he's like, we're going to go down. We're going to negotiate.
Oh, that
he just
fucker.
Shoots him straight up.
Yeah.
And we're seeing Dutch is losing his mind. And you see Arthur's now starting to kind of look the other way, and Mackay is not too good of a guy. And I went into the camp,
Mackay.
And
Mika?
Micah, Mackay. That's I like to call him Mackay. And we were in the camp, and the boy's looking for a dog, his dog. And Mackay's just like, your dog's not coming back. It's like, oh my god, what did you do to the dog?
Shit, son, I didn't do any of these missions.
That's some stuff that's going on in the camp, man. Right. But then, yeah, did you blow up the bridge with Marstone?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I just wrapped up. I actually posted it on our Twitch. I did it on Twitch.
Oh,
I was messing around last night and did it, so you guys can watch me blow up a bridge. It's not that exciting.
How can they watch you blow up the bridge? Where do they follow on Twitch?
Well, they can follow us on at Twitch at Talkamaniacs, because that's what our listeners are, a Talkamaniacs. You can also follow us on Twitter at _Talkamania. The podcast is up on Spotify, Podbean, and wherever you get your kicks. So make sure to check it out and tell your friends and buy some merch on ProWrestlingTees.com/Talkamania. And we were talking last week about having a sale in the new year, and I think that may become a reality. So we'll keep you posted in the new year. You can pick up some sweet, sweet merch and help Talkamania evolve. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
And don't forget to check out our friends at WW Menager Game. If you're a friend of How I Met Your Mother, you will understand that. But that's WW Manager Game on Twitter. They have an app. It's pretty cool. I'm horrible at plugging, so check them out before I ruin their entire, you know, business model. So
check it out, guys.
So TLC, Ring of Honor. The McMahons have shaken up Raw and SmackDown. NXT is tonight. We're not watching it. But we do know what happens next week on Raw. Do we know what happens next week on SmackDown as well? Was that pre-taped?
Yeah, it's all been pre-taped because they're actually letting the superstars go home and spend time with their families. So yeah, they recorded, I guess, condensed versions of the show for next week.
So the big question, before we talk about TLC, before we talk about ROH, the changes that the McMahon family have quote unquote brought to the WWE, are you satisfied?
Well, I mean, it only just happened last week. They came out on Raw, and well, we knew there was going to be an announcement. Vince McMahon was going to be there. And I guess most people thought, and I thought, it was just kind of the tie in with firing Corbin, saying who's going to be in charge, maybe doing a bit of a mix up, you know, maybe Seth Rollins complained the week before, maybe sending him over to SmackDown as punishment. But they kind of came forward in a surprising fashion, and we had Triple H, Shane, Stephanie, and Vince there, basically saying that, you know, they've been failing us, and they're going to make some changes, and you know, we're going to be the authority.
Yeah.
We're going to see new matches. We're going to see all kinds of new stuff, new people coming up to the main roster. And yeah, they did announce some people coming up to the main roster, so that's something. But outside of that, I mean, I haven't seen any immediate changes, except for getting rid of the rematch clause. That seems to be no longer a thing.
And how much am I... Sorry, how happy could I be about that? We've talked about that in the show.
I could see you being happy about that.
We've talked about that on the show. I've never been a fan of the rematch clause. It's stupid. I understand they do it in UFC, but it's different in UFC. You still have to kind of earn that rematch, you know? You have to have had a good enough fight to draw that rematch back. So I'm just happy that we're not going to get any of these rematches on Raw or SmackDown following a pay-per-view. That means we're also not going to have a repeat of the pay-per-view a month later. And I think it's just going to be new matchups. What I do think, though, like a lot of people said, oh, it wasn't a big enough change, just call-ups, just a couple of new faces, blah, blah, blah. What I do think that the WWE is doing and will continue to do is I think they're going to give their wrestlers a little bit more leeway on promos.
That would be nice to see. I don't know if I saw anything immediate standing out. I'm not going to complain and say, oh, you know, it was the same old crap. It kind of was, but I'm also going to give them the benefit of the doubt, give them a few weeks to kind of get things going. Right, you have to understand, we're going into the holidays. They just taped, you know, two episodes for next week. So hopefully they're going to start fresh. The timing was a bit weird. And the no rematch thing is cool. I'm on board. I like the fact that, you know, it's not going to draw out feuds. A lot of the time it is. It's just like, you know, they get the rematch. It goes a couple of months. Now we could have, different matches month to month. And they also can have rematches if they decide to, you know.
Exactly. It's just not forced.
Like, tonight you're getting a rematch. Oh, awesome. You know, it's not forced. Exactly. It's not expected. So that makes me think like, oh, well, now it's happening with Becky and Charlotte. It seems that they're going to be going to the back of the line. And then what about Seth and Ambrose? And I'm excited about that because I didn't want that feud to go on too long. So I'm really hoping that it ends up kind of allowing Seth to go on to bigger and brighter things, although he seemingly is being put into a feud, or at least for the coming week or so, with Corbin. So that's I don't know if that's an improvement.
Well, getting back to what I said about how I feel that the WWE is going to let people push their promos more off paper, it's because that's kind of the formula that they use down in NXT, where they will kind of let a superstar, you know, make it or break it on the mic. They'll kind of give them their time. If they blow it, they blew it. They don't have a second chance. Like when Naomi came out on SmackDown, was the first time in a long time I felt like Naomi didn't have like a scripted promo to cut. She kind of shot from the hip a bit. It didn't go over super well. It was a bit awkward, but it was still...
She looked at McMahon.
I think she was
still... looked at him and he looked back. It was like...
yeah. Okay. It was weird. But that match that she had with Asuka, I don't know if you noticed, but they gave them the time. Like they really gave them the time. That was the longest match of the night. And they let them be technical. They let them, I don't know, it just seemed like it did have a different feel from it. I think out of Raw and SmackDown, that was the biggest takeaway of freshness that I got from it.
Well, it really depends. I mean, I find on SmackDown, they try to give women, I guess, more time in their matches, and they're doing it in general. I think it's more the fact that they're really seeing how much people are into women's wrestling.
Hell yeah.
Now, remember, there was a Gauntlet match that finished off Raw as well, too, right? And that match was very long. And it was fantastic. I thought it was great having the women kind of, you know, go in that elimination style. And then for Natty, basically to go the distance, I think that was pretty cool and maybe a little bit unpredictable. Maybe it was something that they kind of decided to call an audible on. No one would think, you know, Natalya would. Look, she eliminated three credible people. So Ruby Riott was one of them. Sasha Banks was the other. God forbid, I can't remember the third person. But, yeah, Ember Moon. So that's three pretty good names to eliminate. So having Natty win that match is pretty cool. She's finally going to have that match with Ronda. And obviously, I expect Ronda to go over on this match. But it's kind of cool to see her have it. Hopefully, it'll be a good match. But I think the women themselves, people have been loving to see it. They main evented TLC. They've been main eventing before. So giving them the time is definitely the thing to do. So in a sense, they are listening to the fans because that is right now what the fans want to see.
What did you think about the Sami Zayn promo package of him returning? Do you think it was... I get that they're using that as part of their freshness, but do you think that it would have been better if he just returned rather than being told that he's coming back?
Well, I think now they're looking at ratings, right? So they don't want people to just casually tune in and be like, oh, Sammy's back. They want people to see like, oh, Sammy's coming back. When? So they tune in every week to check it out, and it increases the ratings.
But do you think...
So it's more strategic on their end.
Is it, though? Because like back in the day, you used to hear Raw. You had to tune in every week because you never knew what was going to happen.
But people aren't tuning in every week.
I understand that because you always know what's going to happen. So if they tell you what's going to happen, you still already know what's going to happen. So you're going to tune in. Raw's going to start. You're going to be like, oh, Sammy's not there? Okay, back to your programming. Tune back in 15 minutes. Oh, Sammy's not there? Okay. Because you know when all the segments change. And I just feel like if they went back to the whole, like, anything could happen on Raw, it's going to be more intriguing for fans to tune in every week.
I think once they get that big hook, it's just like, you know, if they said, hey, next week The Rock's on Raw, the ratings are going to shoot up.
Yes.
You know, but if The Rock just shows up, then you're hoping everybody turns the channel over because they see on social media The Rock is currently on Raw or something.
Which agreed.
You'll gain people, but there's two ways. I mean, I think they have to look at it both ways and not just do one way or the other because
but they've been doing
they're not
it-
getting the people...
They've been
they're not getting the people sorry, to tune in. That's the thing.
Yes, but they've been announcing and announcing and announcing. The ratings are still shit. The ratings are
well,
still
Sammy,
shit.
They only announced last week. Same thing with Kevin Owens, too. They're now announcing Kevin Owens is going to be returning soon, too. So my guess, it's pretty straightforward. It's going to be for the Royal Rumble. It seems obvious to me.
No, but I mean, like, they've said, like, Goldberg's going to be on Raw next week. Brock Lesnar's going to be on Raw next week. Shawn Michaels and Undertaker are going to be on Raw next week. And their ratings are still kind of shit. Why don't they just do, like... Rock's going to be on Raw next week. Put him on Raw. The following week, don't announce anybody. Throw somebody on there.
Then the it's following not a bad week, idea. Because to be honest with you, like when the fans know The Rock's going to be there, they're excited. But then, like, when a promo's cutting and The Rock is just there, they all crap their pants, you know? So, like, yeah. you really send them home happy. So maybe it's more about, you know, I guess, appeasing to the crowd that's there and then letting people tune in at the same time. I don't know.
I think at the end of the day, if you don't have storylines that are appealing, even if The Rock is there, like, if WWE tells me The Rock is there on Monday and I tune in and I watch The Rock and it's just like he's literally just there. He talks about, I don't know, his upcoming movie with Paige and all that crap. And then that's it. I'm just like, oh, well, The Rock was just there. Like, give me a storyline. It doesn't have to be with The Rock. Just give me storylines that make me want to tune in every week. Like, giving Natty the win is cool. It's different. But Natty is not going to beat Ronda next week.
No, absolutely not. But I like the fact that they're giving her these opportunities and highlighting her a bit more than, you know, we could look years ago where her gimmick was her farting all the time. So
yeah, but she's been highlighted. She's been a champ since then.
For sure she has been. But I like this. Like, she's getting three credible wins. She went a distance. She didn't just win the last match. Like, you know, the old recipe would be like, Natty was the last person to come out, and she won because she was the freshest. It's like, no. Like, she actually, you know, went through three credible people, one being Sasha Banks, you know, and Ember Moon. Which is pretty impressive. And also, even with the table match at TLC, you and I both agreed that outside of the TLC match, this could very well likely be the match of the night. I thought it was great. I thought the match between Natty and Ruby was great.
And you know what's crazy? I think we're the only people who think that. I've listened to a few podcasts. Busted Open didn't like it. People said that it had no direction. People said it had no momentum. Personally, when we were watching it, I thought it was, I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was the match that kind of, for me, was like, oh, like, it's really starting to get going, you know, the heat's going. I thought it was kind of lackluster until that point. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you could pick it apart and say, this isn't good, that isn't good. We were talking ourselves, too, it would have been cool to, when he pulls the table out with Ruby Riott on it, it was, you know, either Ruby in an embarrassing picture, you were like her on the can or something,
her being pooping.
Like,
oh! Her pooping.
Yeah. Or a picture of, like, a really frail grandmother or grandfather or something, and then she pulled it out, and Ruby's just like, oh, how did you know? Like, that's my gram, you know?
Or
like
a secret? Her making out with Elias secret. Backstage or something along those lines?
Yeah, it could be fun, you know? But at the same time, I thought the match was well-delivered. You know, she put on Jim's jacket, powerbombed her. That was a pretty good powerbomb. And also, the Riott Squad, Liv, man. Liv took a no fear spear off of the apron right into that table, man.
So. Are we hot on Liv Morgan?
No, I'm not hot on her.
I think we're hot on her. Come on, we're hot.
I'm starting
on her.
To she was starting to respect the effort she's putting in.
We're hot on Liv Morgan.
Shut up.
Yeah, we're hot on her. Okay.
Don't tell Drew McIntyre.
So let's talk a little bit more about TLC. A lot of matches on that card. A shitload of matches on that card. Some highs, some lows. But a match I do want to talk about was everything that happened with Baron Corbin. And I liked it. And I know the WWE Universe didn't take it too well. They thought that there was a little bit of confusion. Like, why is Finn Balor out there even though he has a match? And I mean,
because he's always coming out. Finn Balor seems to always be coming out for multiple segments and causing shit.
We kind of freaked out when Apollo was the guy. The first guy they showed was Apollo Crews. And we were like, really? Braun Strowman picked Apollo Crews? But then Chad Gable, the guy who should not be named, which I think he should be named again because he's getting there. And then Finn Balor, of course. And Heath Slater was dope. And then Kurt Angle came out and it was perfect. Yes, they repeated on Raw, but at TLC, I thought it delivered. I thought it was a bit of a shame that it was a TLC match and kind of got wasted because it's like a marquee match, but I liked it, man. I thought it's told a story that you don't often see at pay-per-views anymore.
Yeah, I thought it was all right. I didn't mind the segment, considering it looked like Braun Strowman was in no condition to wrestle. He had his arm in a sling, and he didn't even really do anything except for put his foot on his chest. So leaving it to the rest of the guys to take out Corbin and kind of be like, look, man, you've been a pain in our ass all these weeks. Karma's coming back to kick your butt, and that's kind of what it was. So Corbin had a chance to redeem himself. It was funny because the McMahons are talking about change, and then the first thing that happens is Corbin coming out, which is like, dude, we see this guy five segments a week, but he gets fired, so that is change. He gets put in another handicap match, gets his ass kicked again, and Corbin is out. So I gotta ask a question: what do you think's gonna happen from here? Do you think someone's gonna take over full time? I know last week I was like, maybe Alexa Bliss can, because she just took over the women's division. But I don't even recall seeing her on Raw this week. So
to be honest, I think the days of the GMs are over. Like we saw on SmackDown.
Poor Paige. How coy you are.
How I felt really bad for her. Despite all the cum-guzzling videos and title ejaculations.
You feel bad for her and you call her a cum-guzzling video. That's awesome.
I mean, people could redeem themselves. I felt bad for her in the sense that they were like, first of all, the whole segment was lame. Shayna Max sucks.
It was awkward and lame and looked like they just threw it together at the last minute. It was like, let's all go to the room and let's chant. And you saw like certain superstars who shouldn't be there were there.
Yeah. Shayna Max like, thank you, Paige. Thank you, All Alone. But, excuse me.
And then she's on social media. She's like,
she's like, so I'm not GM, but I'm still going to be included, but I can't wrestle. So I guess some more dick sucking?
Well, a lot of speculation here, right? So what's going on? Why? Because people were saying she was doing a very good job and the fans really liked her.
She was.
I'll give her that. The fans enjoyed her. I thought she was doing a decent job. I can put my personal opinion of her aside. I think she was doing a good job. But, you know, what happens now? So I did notice that Zelina Vega was taking shots at her on social media, basically saying, like, you know, kind of making fun of her as a GM and her in the movie, and her saying that she was the best part of the movie because she actually plays AJ Lee in this movie.
Oh my Zelina God, for Vega does.
Yeah, she does.
Sweet.
So I have a feeling they're maybe pulling her out a little bit to maybe publicize her movie. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
And Zelina Vega might be involved. But then why would she be, you know, causing this kind of heat or drama? Maybe her co-star will come back and her co-star will kick the crap out of her. I don't know. But people are speculating maybe Paige was secretly cleared to return.
Ooh.
I think we know if she was. But last we know, she definitely isn't. And one kick to her neck could paralyze her. And she probably isn't coming back.
As long as they keep Sasha Banks out of the ring, right?
Yeah.
No, but
I mean,
getting back to your question before, where do I see it heading for GMs? I really do think GMs are a thing of the past, at least for the time
being. I hope you're right.
I think the McMahons are going to be present. I think the fact that there's four of them means that one of them will always be on one or the other. And I'm just waiting for the day where Triple H is there. Like, I have to feel that if McMahon is really looking at ratings and seeing the success of NXT, seeing the success of 205, that he's got to be thinking, like, shit, maybe Trips is on to something. Maybe Triple H gets a bit more say. I don't know. I mean, I'm being positive, you know. Pedopolis, I'm trying to be positive.
I hope so, too. I really hope that. I mean, McMahon must be checking at NXT, seeing kind of the recipe of what Triple H is doing. And I hope some of that kind of gets mirrored or kind of transitioned over to Raw. I hope McMahon, he's so stubborn, though. That's his thing, right? Like, look, you know, Roman Reigns was his project, and he was going to put him over no matter what he could do. He gave the man cancer, for God's sakes, just to get him over, so... Is that too far?
Speaking of NXT, let's get Dez's take on the new call-ups. The way it was announced, we have Heavy Machinery, Lacey Evans, Nikki Cross, EC3, Swordy Face Lars Sullivan. And I was going to say Nikki Cross, but, you know, she's already there.
I'll play with you, Becky.
Well, they are advertising Nikki as being one of the people coming up. They're kind of re-teasing it. So, I think it's interesting. We got people coming up. Before I get into it, I want to make it clear. I don't think McMahon causes cancer. He might, but... Call-ups. Heavy Machinery.
Just throw that in there, eh?
I don't want people to think I'm that bad of a person. I mean, that's all. I just want to make it clear. I'm only a little bit evil.
Bitches ain't shit but hoes and tricks.
Heavy Machinery, right? So I like these guys in some of their tag team matches. I thought they were a fun tag team to watch. I just feel like they're going to get grouped in with one of those tag teams and then end up being like a B team, you know? Like,
well, no, I get it. I get what you're saying. But the question that I'm asking is, what did you think of the way that they announced these guys coming up? Was that the right move or should they have just had them come out in matches?
Had them come up in matches. I think surprising people. I think having them coming out in matches like, here's your opponent. And then they come up from NXT and it's like they could have had a lot of surprises that night. The night that they had them coming up. They've announced Lars Sullivan. They've kind of announced Nikki Cross already. So EC3, Lacey Evans, Heavy Machinery, these are all new names that we had no idea about until this week. So I think, like, yeah, they could have still teased Nikki or Lars or whatever. But yeah, they should have been pulling the trigger on a lot of this. Nikki should have came out with Sanity this week because Sanity was there. Yes. She could have been involved.
Yes.
I want them to get back to the days where women can be with men in factions. It just seems like it just can't happen.
Where's
I
was thinking love, about. Man?
I was listening to that. Oh, I was listening to the theme to Undisputed Era this morning. It just came up on my MP3s or my MP3s. My playlist. Dude, song's awesome, and I'm like, man,
boom.
They got. I would like to see more people added to this faction. I don't want it to be blown up, but like, you know, one more, two more, and then like a woman in there, like that. Those kind of factions we used to have. It was awesome. We did this kind of stuff with NWO. We did it with DX. These are the two biggest groups ever in professional wrestling, debatably. And, you know, they're allowed to be larger. They're allowed to have women in there. It would be cool. I want to see Nikki being able to mix it up. I want to see Naomi come and be with the Usos all the time. They should just always be around each other. Why? Why can't they do that?
The tag team division should align themselves together to fight the Authority on there being a lack of a good tag team division.
On Raw.
Wherever.
SmackDown's pretty good, I would say, and it's getting better. Sanity just came out, and now they have the Good Brothers, too, mixing it up.
That was cool.
Like, it's pretty cool. The tag team division's pretty good on SmackDown. I'm not going to knock it too bad.
But I want the respect given to the tag team division. That's what we're lacking. They're good. They're not given the time.
Yeah, I guess lately. I think when it comes to, like, depending on the tag team, if you put New Day in there or The Bar or the Usos, you know, they'll usually get time to put on a good show, and they usually deliver. So I want to see more of that on Raw. You know, we see kind of jokey tag teams winning the tag team titles. They lose them the next week. And, I mean, the Revival gets screwed with every week, and I'm not even a Revival fan, but, I mean, man, like, the road these guys have gone through since coming up to the main roster, right? Like the shit. Well, don't watch Raw next week.
Shots fired. Here's a question for you. Was the timing of this shakeup a little bit awkward because we're on the brink of Royal Rumble? It's the next pay-per-view. Why didn't they announce that the shakeup was going to happen on Raw on the go-home show? Have nothing change on that Raw and that SmackDown that week, and then make Royal Rumble the coming out party for Heavy Machinery, Lacey Evans, Nikki Cross, EC3, Lars Sullivan. Like, they should have all been in the Royal Rumble, in my opinion.
Well, I think it'll minimize their impact because they're going to be like, we're coming out to Royal Rumble, and then they get eliminated, right?
No, but
so like, oh, Lacey Evans is up. This way, Lacey Evans can come out and have, like, solid matches. I just hope they don't do the Nia Jax treatment where she fights a jobber for 5-6 weeks.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's how I think it's going to be delivered.
I'm not even a huge Lacey Evans fan.
She's like the army chick, right?
Yeah. She's like, like the feminist. You know, like that t-shirt with the feminist girl who's like showing her arm, has like the bandana on her head? Like,
we probably sound like such dicks. I know there's a name to that girl.
That's what she kind of represents, is like the tough all-American girl, and she's kind of cool, I guess. Her finishing move is the ladies' rights. You know ladies' right, but it's called the ladies' right, because she hits you with your right. It's kind of like knocks you out.
Dez. I got two words for that.
Suck it!
Yeah. Let's talk about Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey at TLC. I thought it was a great match. Not a lot of people loved it. People were still calling Ronda not a real wrestler. I don't know, man. I think she fucking delivered.
I thought the match was fine. I thought Nia actually gave her one of her better matches. You know, Nia's a bit of aggressive. She's kind of a different wrestling style. And the match itself, yeah, it was decent. Obviously, we knew Nia wasn't going to win it. But, you know, it definitely tested Ronda. And the match itself, I don't know. I had no real complaints. It definitely wasn't the worst in the card. Wasn't the best. But it was still decent. I don't like Nia Jax, so, you know.
Was this the first Ronda match, like the first second time Ronda faces the same opponent?
Yeah, I guess so, in a one-on-one match, yeah.
And that says something.
Did she fight Alexa Bliss more than once? I thought Alexa got like a rematch for her title or something, but maybe not.
I honestly, I was expecting very little, and I feel like it delivered quite a bit.
That's kind of it. That's kind of what it boils down to, right? We were all kind of like, oh, Nia Jax is just running her mouth every week. We know she's inevitably going to kick Ronda's ass. And we kind of knew in the match that Ronda was going to win. But, you know, Nia did a pretty good job of giving her a run for her money. And, you know, she did all right. It's fun. And, you know, you guys are all like knocking on Nia, and so am I, you know. But, you know, what she did was... she rejuvenated Charlotte because Charlotte kind of was thrown back into the mix after she broke Brecky's face. Brecky was on the sideline.
Who? It allowed Brecky? Who's Brecky?
Brecky. Becky on the sidelines after she broke her face. And then Charlotte had to step in, take her spot. And Charlotte was kind of in limbo in the middle of nowhere, being kind of a face, you know. So it breathed life into her character. And yeah, it took away from her match at Survivor Series. But in the end, she's getting a match at WrestleMania most likely because of this. So, it sucks what happened, and I'm not going to take away from the recklessness of it all, but in hindsight, it might be a better payout in the end.
And
mind you, I do feel like this match with Becky and Ronda at WrestleMania is actually going to end up being a triple threat with Charlotte.
That's my fear. That is my biggest fear, because I would much rather see Becky versus Ronda and Nia versus Asuka.
Is ready for
Asuka. You were gonna have Nia versus Asuka. We're talking about WrestleMania.
Did I say? I think I fucked that up. I want Charlotte versus Asuka.
Okay.
Yeah. Did I say Nia?
Yeah. Way off.
Sorry, my bad. Yeah. Okay. So we're watching TLC. We see Ronda come out. We see her push him over. We watch Asuka climb the ladder. And we kind of spoke about this in our predictions. You called Asuka, so. All the kudos to you.
Hey, man, I surprised myself.
Yeah. So. But I feel like it's too predictable if Becky wins the Royal Rumble now. So I feel like I would really, really like to see Charlotte win the Royal Rumble and face...
And then Becky be the journeyman?
Yes. I want to see Charlotte win the Rumble, challenge Asuka in a WrestleMania rematch, and I want to see... Becky plead her case to fight Becky in a crossover match. And then following WrestleMania...
You're all over the place, man. You just said Becky faces Becky.
God damn these beers. Okay, let me restart that. I want Charlotte to win the
holiday episode. We are drinking, so whatever, man.
I want to see Charlotte face Asuka after winning the Rumble. And I want to see Becky journey to face Ronda Rousey, even though it's a platform crossover. I do. Because I think if Becky wins the Royal Rumble, it's just like, you know, shit.
Well, she said herself, she came out and she wants the McMahons to deliver her the Raw champion on a plate. So she's after Ronda. She has put her laser focus on Ronda Rousey. She no longer cares about that title. I thought it was cool having her come out. People are bitching, complaining, saying it taints Asuka's win. You know, whatever, man. She could have won that match anyways.
I agree.
What it comes down to is it's kind of playing a bigger story, a bigger picture, and I think it kind of puts the story onto WrestleMania. Let's Asuka. Look, she did a good job in that match, too. Mm-hmm. We could believe she could beat Becky. We believe she could beat Charlotte. This isn't Carmella we're talking about. So I'm okay with her winning it the way she did. You know, when she did win it, they kind of panned a little bit more at Charlotte and Becky and kind of took away from her moment a little bit, but they didn't give it to her.
It's not the story.
That's it. That's it. They have to get the story going. So I was super excited. You can imagine, guys. I'm a huge Asuka fan. Love the fact that she's now champion. I'm interested to see where it goes. I guess it's very quite possible she's going to carry it to WrestleMania, so we'll get to see her come out with the championship when we're at WrestleMania, guys. So I'm super excited about that. You know, what more could I ask for? But now I'm interested to see where this brings us until WrestleMania, because we saw the match with Naomi, right? It was kind of, I guess, a little bit fast-forwarded, in my opinion, because they've been a tag team. They've been really tight.
Oh, that's and true.
Then, yeah, and then she kind of comes out and challenges for the title, which is totally awesome because Naomi deserves it. She works really hard, and it's been a long time. I think they said it was over like a year and a half since she had a title match. So really cool. Right, and we were talking about the match a bit earlier. I thought it could be a little bit better, but they did give them time. But then now, if Naomi tried and got defeated, what happens now? Who will be the next challenger stepping up at the Royal Rumble? Maybe it will be Nikki Cross.
Huh. It's true.
And then what happens at WrestleMania? If we do have that rematch with Charlotte, what's going to happen? Is Charlotte just going to win again?
No, I mean, probably. But I would like to see Asuka win. At WrestleMania.
I would like to see her get a win over Becky, and I would, well, sorry, more so over Charlotte, yeah. Because, you know, you have Sonya Deville, and I think one of the Iconics have gotten a win over Charlotte, so it's like, come on, give Asuka a win. She can earn it.
I agree. There's a lot of questions, man. Like,
I would have liked to see them, when we talked about this too, when Ronda pushed them off the ladder, not just to kind of like get hung up on the ropes,
yeah.
But to go through a table on the outside or something really big bump at the end, you know?
I'm a little tired of seeing people push off a ladder that's like maybe 3 or 4 inches taller than the top turnbuckle into the ropes and just like be completely out of it at that point. They should go over the ropes through a fucking table.
Or she should have just, like, taken the chair and, like, beat... Well, I guess they didn't want them to be beaten too bad and give... Maybe they were trying to, like, not make it as an easy win for Asuka, you know? Save her a little bit of, I guess, integrity?
Nah. Nah. You know, as we get back to this, I want to point out one thing more from the Ronda and I match. That cross body that Ronda threw...
Oh, yeah. It was, yeah. This guy couldn't stop talking about it.
Dude. Like, the replay, the athleticism...
Yeah, she nailed it.
Of Ronda Rousey is next fucking level.
Dude, Ronda's good, man, and she works hard, and she's always getting better. And yeah, there's things you can complain about her promo. She smiles weird and all that stuff, but whatever, man. She's always getting better, and she works damn hard, man. So
that kiss to the fist before the armbar was just icing on the cake for the match. Her ring psychology is better. Her makeup is better. Oh, damn, I just pulled one out of Dez. Damn it.
No, what's wrong with you? Why are you noticing this kind of stuff? Jeez, be a man.
Let's take a quick break. Quick. Because...
Dez Bird!
Yeah!
This is egregious. How is this allowed on the air?
There should always be dance breaks every week on SmackDown.
All right, Ambrose and Rollins, TLC. God, that was bad.
Well... I don't know. I know it got the chance that this is boring, this is awful, or whatever it is. I kind of was watching it while we were talking and shooting the shit. And the match itself wasn't too bad, but it wasn't great either. I don't know why they got such heat, but obviously people are not invested in this feud. They weren't invested in the match. And maybe that's hopefully why they're maybe moving on to other things now that they're not going to have the rematch clause. And Rollins is kind of feuding with Corbin, but he did... No, I don't know, man. I think this is going to go on further because they did talk about each other in their promos.
I don't know, man. It was more that, like, you watched the package before the match, and you're like, these motherfuckers are going to kill each other. First of all, it should have been a TLC match. There should have been some sort of stipulation. Last man,
there
I
should
care.
Have absolutely should have been a stipulation. Been, yeah.
Secondly, they, like, squared each other up. There was like Irish whips and chain wrestling. Like these guys had a wrestling match. They're both great wrestlers, so no taking away from them. But it should have been more of a brawl. It should have been a little bit dirtier. It probably should have ended in like, I know that they wanted Ambrose to get the championship, but it should have been like a no DQ. And Ambrose should have beaten the shit out of him, and Rollins should have beaten the shit out of Ambrose. There should have been blood. There should have been like just more of fucking like, dude. Dean Ambrose turn on Roman Reigns the day I fucked that up. Dean Ambrose turn on Seth Rollins the day that Roman Reigns announced he had cancer. And then they had a wrestling match as the payoff. A little silly.
Calling WWE storyline silly now, eh? I mean,
little
come
silly,
on.
Little silly. Little silly.
Little.
And like
just a little.
Ambrose and Rollins could have had a great fucking brawl, man. They're like both.
I think you nailed it. It should have been a brawl. It should have been a match. It's not believable. It's like these guys are going to do Irish whips and chain wrestling when they want to kill each other.
The ending, I liked it. I did like it. I liked
the ending too. Yeah.
I did like the dirty deeds with no immediate pin. And I did like the way that Dean Ambrose won the championship and kind of looked at it and it was just kind of, you know, demonic about it and all that kind of crap. But
I like clean wins by heels.
Yeah, there's a lot of heels, man. Like, who's the baby face? Who is the baby face of WWE? Not just a good guy. Like, Seth Rollins is a good guy. The fans are behind him. But who is the baby face of WWE? Who is the guy where you're, like, legitimately pissed when he gets screwed over?
Now that Daniel Bryan's healed, you know, it's a good question.
There is none. There is none. Like, Gargano was the last one in NXT, and they kind of ruined that, too. Like, I don't hate the storyline that he's gone into with Aleister Black and getting back involved with Ciampa, but I want a real babyface, man. Who's it going to be?
Do you think there's anybody on the roster right now that could fit that role, or would you call somebody up, and who would it be?
Oof. That's a good one. I don't know. I don't know.
Because KO's coming back, but KO can't be that, you know, babyface.
Could he, though? Could he be?
I don't know if he could be that babyface.
Not that babyface.
I mean, fans like him. They find him amusing, but he's a dick, you know? And I think he, I don't know. He can, even when he's a good guy, he's still kind of a bad guy.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know who it could be. I really don't know. Like, with the heel turn of Daniel, like you mentioned, it's just like they're all gone. I think maybe when Roman comes back, he could be that guy. But I don't know. I don't know. You know what, though? I don't know if you will agree with this, but I feel like there's some sort of buzz around Apollo Crews right now. I feel like at TLC, when he was the first mentioned, it was odd. But then on Raw, when he came out, I was kind of like, I like this guy.
Nope. Get in line. It's not a long line. I don't know. I don't not like the guy, but there's nothing that stands out about me. There's nothing that pops out. Like, I like Apollo. I mean, good for him. He's getting a push. Hopefully he does good with it, but you know, I don't know. I'm more excited about what they're doing on SmackDown. Now we got Mustafa Ali. He had a match a week ago on SmackDown against Daniel Bryan. And a week later, he's part now officially of the SmackDown roster, which is awesome.
I got to hand it to you. You told me to be watching this guy. I never took your advice.
Oh, thank you for your Christmas present.
I didn't watch him the prior week on SmackDown, even though I told our listeners that I did. I'll be honest now. I didn't. But I did watch him this week. And I will say that was fucking incredible. And maybe he could be that guy.
Maybe. I mean, who knows? But it was exciting to see him. He's definitely a right wrestler. The stuff he can do, the moves that he can, the way he sells too. He sells like he flips and he's a cruiserweight, kind of. But like, I don't know, man. I'm really excited to see him. I'm excited for him. He's worked hard. But you know, he hit that finishing move off the top rope at the end. I don't know if you saw it. He landed like right on Daniel Bryan's face.
Yeah, he fucked him up. And you heard the mic pick up. Sorry, Daniel.
Yeah, he said something to him. Yeah, he did.
Seemed concerned.
He did. But I'm pretty sure he's like, damn, on the main roster, I don't want to, you know, injure the WWE champion. But dude, he pinned the WWE champion
on his
first, I guess, match once he was solidified on the roster. So it just goes to show you how high they are on this guy. And it's going to be exciting to watch. I don't know. I'm down. I think it's cool. And we get more Cien Almas too, because they're wrestling the main event together.
They're
going to be actually wrestling this week on SmackDown during the holidays on the taped edition, so check that out. That's going to be exciting too. But I'm really happy to see him being called up to the main roster. He's definitely somebody to keep an eye out for, and always delivers, always puts on a great match, so I'm excited to see it. No more Buddy Murphy matches, but hey, you know, I'll take a loss there.
The slight Mustafa Ali attire change to remove the vest that he used to wear, like the singlet vest, I think it adds to, he looks like a bigger wrestler. He looks more like a heavyweight compared to what he looked like before.
Yeah, I agree to that. I find he dresses a little bit like Seth Rollins, so maybe there should be a bit of a change going on. He also has like the mask that lights up when he comes out, which is pretty cool.
Very cool.
But sometimes it gets too elaborate, you know, and it's like it's too flashy, too colorful. It's kind of cool when he first had it. It was kind of like Sub-Zero. And then like now he comes out and like everything on him is like glowing like bright light and or light bright.
Light bright.
But I don't know. It's a little too much. Same thing with Naomi. I liked when she came out with the colors, but then it became a little bit too excessive. So I hope they don't kill that, or at least overkill it.
Well, you got to feel the glow.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll be a tag team. They could be the mixed match tag team for next year.
So, mixed match, you know, let's take a second to talk about that. Do you think that they could have had a cooler destination that R-Truth had picked? Because when we were watching the pay-per-view, you were like, I hope they pick somewhere like Disneyland or somewhere hot, and then we can get like check-ins on SmackDown, a couple vignettes of them on the beach, and I think it would have really gone over well.
I think it would have been fun. I think they should have even taken it further, invested into the storyline. Look, these are two guys that don't have much going on, and you know the fans do enjoy them. They're fan favorites. People like to hear what they have to say. You can laugh at these guys. They're fun. They're entertaining. And I would have, you know, given these guys a budget and been like, hey, man, let's fly these guys around the world in various locations. And then maybe, like, you know, every week we could film a montage with them somewhere in, you know, Switzerland. And then, you know, somewhere down in Denmark. And then somewhere down in Alabama. And then maybe in Germany. And then in France. Like, I don't know. They could have done some pretty cool things about it and then have different vignettes, I guess, every week. Now they're going to the headquarters. I don't know what to expect out of it. They're going to go walk around, and it's going to be like, hey, here's McMahon's office, and here's a stapler. Like, I don't know.
It would have been cool
I'm optimistic that it could be fun. I just wish they would have been, I guess, invested a little bit more into it, considering how long this mixed match challenge has been going on for. And then we saw these guys lose this past week on SmackDown, so it's like already over, and they're almost already an afterthought. And when are they taking this trip?
How cool would it be to see them dance breaking in a hot air balloon in Holland?
That's what I'm saying, J-Bomb, man. They should have done stuff like that. They should have been doing this dance break. They could do a promo in each different area that they go to, or different continents or countries or states or alleyways or whatever you want to call it. And then in the middle of it, they just do, you know, dance break. Maybe they should go down like a dark alley and, you know, they're going to get mugged. And it's like, dance break. And then they get in conflicts, and then the conflict is always solved by a dance break.
Bang bang! Rusev Day. Let's talk about Rusev Day real quick.
Rusev Day.
So I know you know.
I know you know. I know.
Just like that. You want to spoil?
All right, guys. I'm gonna give you a spoiler. Spoil it. So, it's been a no-brainer. Rusev's been having his eye on Shinsuke Nakamura, the United States champion. Well, they had a promo backstage this week where they kind of went back and forth. Next week, on Christmas Day, if they air it on Christmas Day, I'm assuming SmackDown will.
Is it Christmas Day?
It will not be Christmas Day because it is Rusev Day.
Machka.
And on Rusev Day, on Christmas Day, Rusev wins the United States Championship. Sorry, guys.
I don't know.
We gave you a warning.
I don't have a soundbite for it, unfortunately. But
well, dude, man, we added him to our theme song this week, so you know it's reason enough. It's the holiday spirit, and it's funny. I actually ripped. If you actually look back at Rusev last year doing a Christmas skit with New Day, one of the funniest shits ever. It's where I took some of the audio for this week's theme song. And these guys have a hard time keeping it together, almost laughing. It was one of my favorite skits from last year. It was pretty cool. But yes, Rusev wins the United States Championship, hopefully making that title relevant once again. So I'm excited to see what happens. You know what? I'd even be down for Aiden to come back and them having a feud for the title. Even if it's Rusev keeping the title, having these guys go at it for a few weeks, yep. Man. Aiden was cool, man. I enjoyed him.
I miss him. Where's Aiden?
I miss him.
Where's Dango?
Oh, let's speak about Tyler Breeze, my friend.
I was just going to say.
Now, how badass would have that been for change this week? I think that could have been great. Well, so I think there should be more like, what do you guys want to see? Do you want to see this or do you want to see that? And the crowd cheers and that's what they go with. It could kind of be cool. But I think, honestly, people are high on Tyler Breeze. I know Xavier Woods is trying to get him more steam on social media. He wants to basically see this guy thrive because he's awesome. He puts on great matches. Even in NXT, he went back down. Fans loved him, and he delivers, man. He had a great match with Ricochet, and he got a match with Dean Ambrose this week. Could have been cool to see Seth Rollins come out and maybe cost Dean Ambrose the match, and we see Tyler Breeze win the Intercontinental Championship, and then Seth and Ambrose can go into some kind of some feud not involving the title. We talked about that title and it being a flotation device for Dean Ambrose.
Yep.
That's why we felt so strongly he was going to win it, and he did. But man, give it to Tyler Breeze. Wouldn't that be cool? Having him be the IC champion, man, elevate him and like try to have something new for that title. I mean, I don't know. I know a lot of you are like, Tyler Breeze is garbage. He wears fluffity floofity pants.
He looks dope, man. He looks dope.
I don't know. I think he should maybe get rid of tone it down a little bit. And I think it's a little bit too much. It can't be super comfortable.
Meh, I feel like you'd be flowing in the air. those kicks. I feel like when Tyler Breeze was the first like freshness to Raw that night, and I feel like it was a bit of a cop out. Like, I love Tyler, but I feel like it was a cop out. I was like, okay, they're going to throw Tyler Breeze in there because the fans like it. Wrestling Twitter likes Breeze. Here he comes. He's going to lose.
And he'll lose. Yeah. That was exactly what they did. No,
the match was, it wasn't a squash.
He hit his finisher, I think, and then Dean even kicked out.
That's okay. It's okay. Dean's champion, you know?
I'm happy to see Tyler Breeze get any opportunity. I'm sure he was happy to be on, you know, on programming this week and have an Intercontinental Championship match, which is a pretty big deal. But it was kind of like almost a jobber match. Almost.
No, I wouldn't say that. Yeah, I guess it was.
We knew what the outcome was going to be, but I think a lot of us were hoping this was going to be an end of change and maybe, you know, he's going to roll him up or something and actually walk away with the title. And I don't know. And it's kind of hard because where do you go from there, right? Tyler Breeze wins the IC title. Then what? You know?
But they still needed a... I think
they needed a big change this week. There was no massive change this week.
No, there wasn't.
You can't say it's Mustafa Ali coming up because we saw in the week before. We can't say it's all these call-ups because none of them showed up.
True.
We go back to what you said before. People should have just randomly showed up throughout the shows this week. They should have. It shouldn't be like, hey, coming this next week or the week after or the week after. Man, like we heard Sanity was coming for weeks and weeks. Lars Sullivan, we've been hearing for weeks and weeks. So when is this all coming? So it's just, I don't know. There wasn't enough big changes for me this week. I'm not going to say that they lied, but they better hurry up on some shit because I've seen no shakeups. I've seen no new recipes. And, you know, I'd like to see a little bit of that change they talked about.
Are you optimistic about what is to come? Heading into Royal Rumble, heading into WrestleMania season, now knowing that there's a quote-unquote McMahon-promised shakeup, do you feel optimistic?
Well, I feel happy and excited that they're aware. They're aware and they've actually come out and said, hey, there's a problem. We're not giving you proper products. You know, if the answer is going to be this week, next week, I'm not sure. It might take some time to kind of understand what exactly need to do, because I would have expected more, I guess, bold changes this week, you know, so to speak. Next week, the recorded episodes because of the holidays, and then I think we have tributes to the troop coming up. So it's going to be kind of, there's not going to be much motion in the ocean, I guess, until January kind of starts rolling through. But we do have the Royal Rumble. I'm going to be excited for it nonetheless. You know, like, I'm always excited for Royal Rumble season and WrestleMania season, so I'm going to be behind it, and I'm either going to be really excited and let down or really excited and happy with what they do. Hopefully, these big changes translate into the Royal Rumble, and maybe there's going to be some big surprises. Maybe there'll be some, you know, people from the indie scene that might come in for a one night only.
Ooh-hoo.
I don't know.
So would you say cautiously optimistic?
I'm cautiously optimistic, yes.
Right on. With that ends another episode of Tuckmania. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. The holidays are coming up. We have taped episodes of Raw. We have taped episodes of SmackDown. Whatever, guys. Enjoy it. Enjoy your time off. We are not going to be on our regular Thursday morning release next week. We have families. We have real life coming up. So we are definitely going to be making an episode between Christmas and New Year's. It's going to be Tuckmania, Dez and J-Bomb, year-end review. We're going to be discussing our favorite matches, our favorite moments, our top wrestlers, ranking every single thing we can. We're going to rank some other Twitter handles that we enjoy listening to, some other podcasts. We're going to share everything. It's been a great year. We fucking love you. And guys, seriously, have a great holiday. If you don't tune in next week, have a great new year. We'll talk to you in 2019. If you tune in next week, we'll talk to you before. And on behalf of J-Bomb, I'm out. Dez, say bye.
Happy Rusev Day.
Suckers walk.